We're kicking off the top 10 episodes of the Couple Money Podcast based on your votes and downloads. Today's Rewind has His and Her Money host Ty and Talat McNeely. Their advice on helping bridge that gap between two very different money styles is based on their personal experience, as you'll hear in a bit. We finally got to meet up in person this past fall, and they are as wonderful and as sweet as they sound. Hope you enjoy this episode.
Welcome to the Couple Money Podcast. If you're looking to become financially free together, this is your show. Here's your host, Elle Martinez.
Mastering your money can be a challenge. Doing it as a couple with different personalities and ideas definitely makes it more complicated. Learning to talk about money and deal with it as a duo is essential to getting on the same financial page. This is something we actually discussed in our second episode when I talked about how we began our financial journey and our differences. Now, every couple has their own DNA and how they tackle situations. So today's guests are Ty and Talat from His and Her Money. When they were first married a little more than 8 years ago, they were coming from two completely different places, financially speaking. One of them had a stellar credit score, was on top of their finances, and had no debt. The other one, not so much. Today, they're going to be sharing their story and advice on how to start talking about money, even when you're complete opposites, about finding a way to manage your money and marriage with respect, and digging out of debt as a team. They're a real couple who have succeeded, so I hope their interview will encourage the two of you to become closer while improving your finances. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show. I really appreciate it. Do you guys mind introducing yourselves and why you started His and Her Money?
Well, I'm Talat.
And I'm Ty.
And like you said, we're from hisandhermoney.com. And really, it was born out of just our life. Being total opposites when it comes to personal finance, we've learned a lot of lessons along the way. We've had some highs and we've had some lows.
Some really big lows.
And we've taken notes and we know that we're not alone. And we know that there are plenty of people who are at the starting line of where we once were. And we know that finance is a big and tough topic, especially when it comes to marriage. And so His and Her Money is all about helping marriages, whether you're currently married, soon to be married, or one day want to be married, navigating those two topics, those two big deal items, marriage and money, and how to navigate and bring it together to, you know, alleviate a lot of stress and conflict that a lot of couples endure on the topic of personal finance.
That's right. And as Talat mentioned, we overcame a lot of obstacles during our money journey. We're still learning. However, we were that couple where other couples reached out to for advice. So we then decided, hey, you know what? If others are reaching out to us for advice, maybe we should just put it online or shoot a video or a podcast interview, you know, other people on our podcast show to tell others about our life and about how to win at money, even during marriage. So that's really how hisandhermoney.com started.
Well, that's fantastic. I really love your message. I also believe that you can build up your marriage and your net worth, you know, if you're willing to put in the effort. And you guys recently had a Money Smart Week presentation where you talked about how spouses, even with opposing money habits, can win with your money. Is this based on your personal experience?
Absolutely, 100%.
Yes.
Well, when did you guys realize that you had opposite money styles? Was it right at the beginning of your marriage or a little later did you discover that maybe
it was causing day one? It was day one.
It was right before our marriage.
We were having the conversations about money ahead of being married. And so our personalities came out. I was the natural spender. I was reckless. I had a bunch of debt. I didn't have a clue at the time. And on the other hand, Ty is a natural saver. She was working in financial services, perfect credit. My credit was messed up. So it was kind of pretty apparent that we were on two different playing fields when it came to the topic of personal finance. And we knew we had to figure it out if we wanted to win.
Yeah. Right. So how did that conversation go, like that initial conversation?
Well, I think it was a series of conversations. Right. Like, this topic is so big and so vast. Like, it's going to be a multiple conversational piece. And it's an ongoing conversation that we have to this day, almost nine years into our marriage. And I think the initial conversation was just more of dreaming. Mm-hmm. Us, you know, headed to the altar. We had some ideas and some ambitions and some, it was just about us kind of sharing our dream. I think that was the initial money talk, money conversation. It was just about us, you know, looking forward, looking ahead. And I think that's an easier way to talk about personal finance as opposed to, you know, you come to saying, so how much debt do you have? Like, it's easier to kind of dream and put this, you know, this grand picture of what you want your life to be like. And then you can kind of backwards plan to figure out the steps that you need to take to get there.
Yeah, we must mention, too, that in the beginning, we sat down with our pastor to have premarital counseling, and she asked all the right questions, and he answered it just like I thought that he should, and I answered just like he thought that I should, and we pulled our credit reports, and we reviewed our credit reports. So I knew that Talon had some financial setbacks because clearly his credit report showed that. However, we had a big bump just about 3 months prior to getting married where I discovered financial infidelity. And I discovered that he wasn't as transparent as he should have been before we got married about his finances, because he was trying to handle it all. He was trying to pay down his entire debt before we got married. So, I mean, he was working more than one job. He was delivering pizzas and working a full-time job at the time. So I just thought, I saw a go-getter. I saw someone that was determined. And I was just pumped about it. I was excited. But little did I know that he was working these multiple jobs so he can pay off this debt that I was unaware of before we got married.
You know, I've seen that with a lot of couples. And if you don't mind, I want to ask about that because you bring out a good point. Sometimes, you know, people have this idea of financial infidelity and someone's trying to hide something because, quote, they're a bad person. But that's not always the case.
That's right.
You know, there's a lot of emotion involved. Do you mind talking about that? What were you thinking, you know, trying to pay that down?
Well, I would say I was a reformed spender. Mm-hmm. And I was at the point as an individual to where I kind of had an awakening that the way I was going about money was all wrong. And I knew that I needed to make a change. And so I was at the point where I was ashamed of all of the debt that I had acquired. And here I am about to embark on a marriage, a new life. And I didn't want to bring these old bad decisions that I made into the marriage. So my thinking was, well, I just got to hustle up and try to figure out how to get rid of the debt. And I can't tell her this because she'll look at me differently. She won't think I'm the guy that I built myself up to be. You know, mm-hmm. When we were having these money talks, now that we're engaged, you know, I meant what I was saying. I was starting to understand money a little bit better. But the problem was I was still had to deal with my past mistakes. They were still right there in front of me. There were still bills and bill collectors that I'm dealing with. All that was there because of the decisions that I had made previously. So my thought, which was an incorrect thought, was I can't tell her because she won't look at me the same. She might not marry me because, you know, Ty, like I said, she's all about it. She's all in when it comes to personal finance. And I was a mess.
I think, yeah, a lot of people are in the same boat. Like when we were engaged, we had the money chat. And that's when I discovered I was the one with the debt and he pretty much had nothing. Like, he had a very small student loan that he was going to pay off 6 months after graduation. And I had the car loan, the credit cards, and I had a student loan. So I completely see where you're coming from. And, you know, it is hard when you think you're on the same page, but you're not necessarily. Do you mind maybe describing, like, the process that you guys went through to get out of debt and to work with your opposing money styles?
Sure. Well, once the financial infidelity was uncovered, it was a difficult time for us. As I mentioned, we were like 3 months before we were due to get married, and I felt like my world came crashing. You know, I felt like trust, like, oh, wow, can I trust him? Because here it is. He was not completely honest with me. I just had a lot of emotions going on, especially in my mind, on what to do until I realized, hey, he's a good man. His money issues had nothing to do with him of how he treated me. He treated me like a queen, like my father always taught me. So I knew that as long as we came together on one accord, that, hey, we can do this. And if it wasn't for the fact that, as I mentioned, that I saw determination in my husband, I saw that he was willing to change. I saw habits of his changing. He was reading different financial books and stuff like that. It was very encouraging. Mm-hmm. So I definitely knew that we were going in the right direction, that, hey, then we could overcome this. So what we did, we had a long talk, and we had to lay all our cards out. We had to be completely honest with each other. Now that some of the financial infidelity was uncovered, he had to tell me everything about his past financially. So, and I had to do the same. So once we maintained that, then we were able to work together and come up with a plan on how we can handle our finances and who was going to do the budget. And I guess you could talk about that.
I think one of the most important things that we did was we decided that we were in this together. Mm-hmm. We were married. We were one. There wasn't any, for a lack of a better term, his and her money. And there wasn't any his and her debt. It was our debt. And Ty came on and shouldered it and said, you know what? It's not your debt anymore. This is our. Let's make a plan for us to figure out how we can get out of debt. Mm-hmm. And that verbiage and that language, it changed the game because it showed that we were going to be operating as a team. It wasn't going to be any individuals. Again, you can't operate individualistically in any area of your marriage, and especially not your financial arena. You have to work together. You all have to play on the same team. And I think that that word team can have the wrong connotation. It can be interpreted incorrectly. A lot of times when people hear team, they think everything should be 50-50. And that's not the definition of a team. And I often use this analogy. You know, we're here in Chicago. And so growing up in the mid-90s, we were all about the Chicago Bulls. And Michael Jordan and B.J. Armstrong played on the same team at the same time. And they were champions together. Problem mm-hmm. is, most people don't even know who B.J. Armstrong is. But he was on some of those Bulls teams. And he played his role the way he should have. And Michael Jordan played his role the way he should have. They were both teammates. They weren't 50-50. They had a certain role that they were supposed to play, and they both did it well to the point that they became world champions. And that's how it's got to be in marriage with your finances. Everything's not going to be 50-50. Somebody's going to be better with the numbers.
Yeah.
Somebody's going to be the one that kind of crunches the numbers and lays the plan out. But the other one has to come on board and also has to be a part of the process, has to look at the budget, has to give feedback on the budget, and has to have a voice in the budgeting process. So although you play in different roles, you're still operating on the same team. And so that was one of the biggest things that propelled us forward, was the fact that we both committed to operating as a team.
That's a really good illustration and good point. I think sometimes it is hard finding your role in the marriage, and especially with finances, because we all come from different backgrounds. Sometimes we have those role models to help us, but then sometimes one of us, or you know, both in the marriage, need a little guidance. So how do you guys manage your finance? Like, how does the day-to-day and the big picture look like for your household?
Well, because I am the one, I'm home majority of the time. I'm the one that goes through our bank accounts, whether it's daily or every other day and things like that. But we both sit down and we both do the budget. We have meetings, financial meetings together. We talk about expenses that are coming up that need to get paid. But far as the one that's going to the bank handling like the different transactions, I do that. And we're okay with that because he goes to work. Mm-hmm. And I'm able to go to the bank while the bank is open during the hours that they're open. But we both are involved in making any and all financial decisions for our household.
And it doesn't have to be some drawn out, you both sitting at a card table with spreadsheets all the time. Sometimes it's just a phone call between Ty and I where mm-hmm. she's you know, arranging a budget. She says, hey, what do you think about this? Or what was this charge for? And, you know, she's trying to balance everything out. And, you know, budget meetings can be informal or formal. It's just about keeping an open line of communication where yeah. both parties know exactly what's going on, knows about the income and the outgo.
That's so true. Now, you guys have gotten out of debt twice.
Twice.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, a lot of couples are starting off their marriage and they have debt. Do you have any advice you would give to a couple that, you know, they decide they want to do this, but they don't know where to start? Like, what first steps should they take?
The first step has to be you have to establish your why. And what we mean by that is, why do you want to get out of debt? Why do you want to change your financial situation? What is it that you want your life to look like? What's the point of even having this talk? And you need to establish that up front because, it's hard getting out of debt. Mm-hmm. There are some victories that you're going to celebrate, but there are going to be some low points where you're going to be tired and frustrated and fed up with living this new lifestyle while you're trying to get out of debt. And you're going to need to be able to fall back and remember why you started the journey in the first place, because that's what's going to get you through in those low points where you want to give up, because you have this picture in mind. You have this goal, this dream in mind that you're trying to get to at the finish line. And that helps you to not give up, to continue to push and plug away at getting out of debt. So you have to do that up front. And it's okay to dream. Couples are not doing that enough. Mm-hmm. Dream and dream big. What is it that you want to do? What could you do with your life if you were debt free? Would you go to the same job? Probably not. You'd probably be doing something that you're passionate about instead of something that's paying you enough to keep up with all your monthly payments. And so you need to dream and think big. Like, what is it that you really want to do with your life? And how can you get there? The quickest way to get there is to get out of debt. So you have to establish your why you want to make this change in the first place, because you're going to need it. Trust us. You're going to need that to fall back on. And as Ty said earlier, you have to be completely transparent, and both parties have to lay all their cards on the table. All debts have to be identified. Mm-hmm. Balances, interest rates, all have to be. There can't be anything left uncovered, because you cannot create a sound plan to move forward if you don't have all the information. So you have to be completely transparent, and let's look at all the numbers. You can't have the head in the sand mentality where, as long as I don't see it, I don't have to worry about it. No, we have to find out how bad the situation is. And then people that we've talked to, you know, sometimes they go through this exercise, we send them through this exercise, and they come out like, wow, it wasn't even that as bad as we thought it was. Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, sometimes people say, wow, it was worse than what we thought. But the point is, once you have the information, now you can make a plan.
Right. And then the next step is you want to maintain mutual respect. This is big. In the beginning of our marriage, because Talent wasn't so good with finances and I was, we came up with this brilliant idea. Hey, maybe I should be the one to put together the budget and just hand over a certain amount of cash to Talent every single week to be able to go and spend on whatever he wanted to. But it was more like a parent-child relationship and not a husband and wife relationship, which backfired. Talent felt like he was a child, I was a parent, then I felt like I wasn't getting enough respect for what I was doing. I was the one making all the sacrifices. So it's important that we both maintain a mutual respect for the other, and then we both came together and did the budget together as a team.
Yeah, and I think part of that mutual respect is understanding that even though one of you may not be all that when it comes to personal finance, you're still valuable.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. You're still needed. You're still necessary in order for us to win. And so you have to be able to hear both parties, have to hear each other and respect each other's viewpoints on every decision. And then you guys got to, again, as we talk about, we keep saying, you got to maintain and you got to have a teamwork mentality. It's not us. I mean, it's not individual. It's us against everybody else. Right. If you don't operate as a team, you're going to lose.
That's right. And I want to mention about that as well, too. We didn't realize this till recently, but going through the beginning stages of our marriage and we were paying off Talent's debt, I never once threw it back in his face. That's so important. I never once said, well, we're in this position because of you, or this is your debt. Once I decided to, hey, we were going to come together as a team, then it became our debt. So that's so important that if you are the one that is probably a little bit better with your finances and your spouse probably was the one that was more debt heavy, you don't want to make them feel bad for their past choices. Let's move on together towards a bright future.
And you have to take, go ahead.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
You have to, once you get all your information out there and you are respecting each other and you're operating as a team, we always follow the debt snowball method where we take each debt and we line it up by balance, smallest balance to largest balance. and you need to be attacking it in that order. So you pay all your minimum payments, and then every last dollar that you can squeeze out of your budget or that you can bring in through side hustles and additional income, maybe you take on some extra shifts on your job, that needs to go to the smallest debt. Because what people fail to realize is that personal finance is just that, it's personal. Mm-hmm. All too often, people spend too much time when it comes to trying to get out of debt or understand personal finance. They spend too much time worried about the math. It's not about mathematics. If you were good at math, you wouldn't be in debt. So the point is, you need those emotional victories under your belt. Because if you have a $200 credit card that you can get rid of next month, that's going to light a fire underneath you that's going to propel you forward for the next debt and the next debt and the next debt. It's not about, people love to go by interest rates and all that. You know, that's fine if it works for you. But we've just found that using the snowball method gives you those emotional moral victories that puts you on an emotional high that makes you want to figure, oh, I need to sell something else around here. I don't need this dress. Let me sell this because that's more money that can go towards the debt. So we're big proponents of paying your debts off from smallest to biggest. And again, it's going to take teamwork. It's going to take teamwork. It's going to take some what we call hustle season, where you're going to have to lose a little bit of sleep, work an extra job, sell everything in your house except the kids, and you're going to have to use all that money to throw at your debt. Because the sooner you get out of debt, this is what I wanted to hammer home so bad. The sooner you get out of debt, the sooner you're free. Waste another moment. Get out of debt ASAP. And one of the keys that we have found on the two journeys of getting out of debt, what was important for us to also maintain our sanity was the fact that we chose to grow together. And what we mean by that is we would read books about personal finance, and we would watch TV shows and listen to podcasts like this one to stay motivated. And we would discuss what we heard or what we read, and we would help motivate each other. We're filling ourselves up with the information and the knowledge that we needed. It's no good if one of you is just filling yourself up with knowledge and the other one's just, you know, getting by. But it's so much more beneficial when you're sharing and you're growing together.
That's fantastic. And, you know, you brought out that you got out of debt twice and you worked together. I know it didn't happen overnight. How long did it take you guys to dig out of debt together?
Well, the first time we were finished by our first year anniversary. But then the second time we decided to get in the market and we purchased you can talk more about that.
Because that was his idea. We thought we were making, she loves to say that it was my idea, only because it didn't work. And so we thought we were doing something smart by getting an investment property that we were going to flip and get rich like they do on TV.
Right.
And it just didn't work out. We bought the house. We remodeled the house. We listed the house back on the market just in time for the market to crash. And so we ended up holding on to that for 12 months. Mm-hmm. So we were operating with, you know, two mortgages, two utility bills, two tax bills.
We took a home equity line of credit out on our primary residence.
Stressful.
Yeah.
So that was another 12-month process.
Yeah, we would never, ever do that again.
Oh, wow. Well,
yep, so that took another 12 months.
I have to say, one thing I love about your store and your show and the site, I mean, everything. You guys do it all. You do the audio, the video, the blog post. Is that underlining message of mutual love and respect, and then the finances, you know, putting the marriage first and then taking care of the numbers together. I definitely appreciate it. Can you kind of go over, you know, why you guys are using so many different avenues to get your message out? Because you guys are great with your videos. The podcast, and then, you know, your blog is just full of a lot of useful information.
My background is I'm a teacher, and particularly I'm a special education teacher, and one of the things that's been drilled into us and that we see on a daily basis is that everybody learns differently, and there are multiple intelligence, and no two people learn the same. And so our aim, we're so passionate about our message and the content and the mission that God has given us, is that we want to make sure that we're teaching people in their learning style. So whether you're a visual learner, you're an auditory learner, or whatever is your learning style, we try to get you the message in a way that you can understand it so that you can apply it to your life and that you can change your family, you can change yourself, you can change your community.
Thank you so much. And in case you guys didn't catch it, their website is hisandhermoney.com. You can go there, read their posts, check out the podcast, and check out all their videos. Thank you so much for being on the show. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Al.
We appreciate it.
We really enjoyed ourselves. Thank you so much.
I'm so grateful to have Ty and Talat spend time sharing their experience here. Please visit them at His and Her Money when you get a chance. It's a fantastic resource. Don't forget to hear the latest episodes of the Couple Money Podcast as they release. Go ahead and subscribe. It's free. We're available on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Stitcher. You can also leave a review on the show on any of those sites. I'd love to hear what you think. The feed is also available on CoupleMoneyPodcast.com, so you can grab it on whatever service you prefer. I hope you have a wonderful week. Take care.